All right, you ready for story time?
I am absolutely ready for story time.
Okay, so this story also ends with you, I hope, agreeing with me.
Okay.
That's, yeah. I mean, listen, you're either going to agree with Chase and Derek or you're going to agree with me on this one.
Let's start at the end in the story. Normally, the story starts at the beginning and then I'll reserve judgment. I don't want to commit.
Chase said I was overcommit. Chase said I was wrong and I said I was right.
Okay,
that's
I don't
how it
want, I don't want to overcommit.
Okay, so then we'll start from the beginning.
Got it.
Very quickly, we were out to dinner last weekend. My brother was visiting from Florida and my son wanted to take him out to his favorite restaurant. And when we got there, it was super loud. It was a Friday night and there was a lot of music and there were a lot of people. And both my son and my brother have kind of sensory overload sometimes. So loud places are not great. As we were leaving the restaurant, though, they had a sign on the window that they do some of those like third party delivery, a Grubhub
or Uber Eats,
one of those, DoorDash, there you go. And so it had a little symbol of that. And my 7-year old said, you know, Mom, I don't know why we didn't just have it delivered to the house. And I said, well, you know, because Mommy doesn't do that. And now here's the thing really quick, because before I get shade about, oh, you're putting people out of business, just wait for a second. The thing I don't like about it is I think it's insanely expensive. It's one thing. If you're at a pizza joint, for example, and they have delivery drivers that work there, it's part of their business. I'll have a pizza delivered. That's totally cool. I'm okay with that. But for some reason, I can't get behind the money aspect of the third party food deliveries. I can't. I'm like, I'll just drive there. I'll just pick it up, even if it's 15, 20 minutes away. And that's what Chase didn't like. He said, I don't know why you can't get on board with it. So who was right, me or Chase?
Well, I don't... I don't know who is right. I'll give you my opinion now.
Okay.
I've never done it.
No, I won't do it.
So I've just never done it. I think I wouldn't want to spend the money either.
Right.
I mean, really, honestly.
I'll just drive there. Gives me 10 minutes by myself in the car. It sounds great.
I'm not saying that the right circumstances, I wouldn't consider it.
Right.
But I wouldn't necessarily do it. So I agree with you that it seems silly to waste money on something that you can just go pick up yourself. Or like you said, like a local place that delivers pizza or whatever, and you're having a party, you don't want to go out and get it, it's convenient to do it. But I don't have anybody really come to my house with any deliveries that I order. I mean, you know, all these Amazon or FedEx or whatever will come, but I don't normally have people deliver food.
Well, but I think it's this idea that convenience is key. And for me, it's, I don't know, I just feel like it's money that we don't need to spend.
It's funny you brought up the convenience is key, because it's, In police world and law enforcement world, we
are
always...
Are you a cop?
Well, you know, I've known to been
are
one.
You 911? You are 911.
That goes towards another discussion that we had, and you never know who you're talking to.
Right.
But they... we always talk about convenience and safety.
Right.
Because everything can be convenient, but there is, on some level, a compromise of safety. And when you start talking about having delivery people come to your residence, there is a little component of it.
So that's where I'm half right. So you're like, I don't like the third party delivery, but not for the price. It's because of the safety.
I don't like the price. I don't want to spend the money on it.
Oh, okay. But, so I'm 100%. No, I'm 110% right. I just didn't know the other part of why you don't like third party delivery. It's because of the safety aspect.
Because of the safety aspect of it. Because you compromise safety the more people that come to your house. But it's important to note that there are people that might need it. I've had discussions with a lot of elderly people or people who have just had surgery that can't leave the house and don't have the ability to get food. These services are really, really convenient for
100%.
Them. But it comes with a lot of compromising safety, because we've always sent the message to, especially seniors, that you don't have to answer the door. Be careful of people at your house. We have cameras set up. And who comes to our house on a regular basis? Really no one.
Right.
Except now delivery people. Mm. Delivery people in postal trucks, in Amazon trucks, identifiable vehicles.
Mm.
That's just for packages and deliveries. But now even deliveries of packages come in, I don't know, just people in regular cars pulling up.
Yes. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
So poor Gary, one of the days I called him because I was in my bedroom and I see this van pull up into my driveway, no markings, nothing. And I'm sitting here looking at my phone. I'm watching it on my cameras. And I say to Gary, I don't know who this person is. I have no idea who they are. They just got out and they're looking at my, and they take a picture. Now, of course, I couldn't see that they had dropped off a package, but I didn't realize that this was, I don't know when, this was earlier this year.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize that they started to use unmarked cars to do these deliveries, for example. And I sat there panicking, and he said, oh no, I think they're just with, you know, probably Amazon or something of that nature. But I do think, to your point, that whether it is food or it's stuff being delivered in the mail, I don't, first of all, think we even realize that the driveway is not private. It's semi-private. Isn't your driveway technically semi-private? So that allows people to come in and out of your driveway?
Yeah, because that's exactly right. It's semi-private.
Right. So even that, we don't realize. Yeah. The front door not having to be open because somebody rang your doorbell, we don't realize that because I don't know about you, but I have kind of that Italian, open door policy. Everybody comes on in. But I think when my doorbell rings, even if I know I didn't invite someone over, 9 times out of 10, if I'm not thinking and it's chaotic and it's 5 o'clock and I'm doing dinner and I'm getting bath time and all that, right. I'm going to answer the door because we don't realize even our rights that we don't have to answer our front door.
Well,
we don't have to.
You know, it's so funny because I used to say a lot, as a police officer, taxi cabs are invisible to cops.
What do you mean?
And buses are invisible to cops because at least when I was in patrol, because you wouldn't think of they're just there. So you're
they're not just existing.
They just exist, and you never really raise a level of suspicion with a taxi cab for whatever reason. Maybe not for everybody, but certainly was.
Well, because it's a marked vehicle.
Yeah,
you know, their license is in the window.
It's
they're
just
doing
a
their
taxi
job,
cab.
Right?
It's a yellow cab that's just going around.
But we've kind of become that way with delivery
services.
Well,
that's the point. Is that that's what we've done with delivery services and people in our house. We've kind of, unless it triggers something, like you happen to look out and. Like, because I remember when you called me, you're like, and now they're taking a picture of my house.
Right. It freaked me out.
But now you start to remember, wait a minute, they put the package down, they have to verify.
Right.
And they, I tell you the other day that somebody, a delivery person came to my house and my Shepherd was outside, Cruz was outside, and the delivery person not only dropped the package, but dropped their phone while taking the picture and left.
No.
So I went out to get the package. I thought I told you this. And outside was the package and the delivery person's phone.
Oh, poor bud.
So,
Cruz is the most beautiful German Shepherd I've ever seen.
So get yourself a German Shepherd if you want to at least have some boundaries. But delivery people have become invisible to us because they're so common now. And not only is it FedEx, and we saw a case about a year ago. Wasn't there a case a year ago, 6 months ago, where a FedEx driver kidnapped a young girl?
Yes, but I don't remember where in the country that was. We've also seen where people will just wear the vests, but they don't actually work for the company.
That's right, yes.
And how many times have they even actually worked for the company, but they steal people's phones that are being delivered by Amazon? They claim that they deliver. Yes. I mean, it is interesting. And when you bring up the taxi and bus thing too, Gary, here's the huge difference. Not even just that we expected in marked cars and all of that. What's the difference between buses and taxis and delivery drivers?
They're not.
Where are they going?
Into
where are
your
they?
Driveway.
There it is. Wait, that's exactly it.
Yes,
because we've taken them out of public eye.
Yes,
which is, I think that's a big deal. You've not only brought them into your safe space, which is your driveway, because now they're seeing their exterior of your home. Maybe you have open windows. Now they can sometimes see into your windows. And I don't mean to say that everybody falls under this, but it's something to think about. I do think we have to think about the potential criminal element of total strangers, even though we've called on them, right? We've called on them to deliver something to us, and we just think that that's enough. That's good.
Yeah.
That's it. That's great.
Well, that's what we've done. You know, when it used to be like, nobody should come down your driveway. Very few people should be at my door. Now
it's a free-for-all.
It is a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all.
Because it's convenient.
Right.
And so safety as it relates, to these activities have really thrown out the window. And it is amazing how you'll change your perspective of something. You just brought it up. If somebody has a vest on.
Oh, 1,000%.
You could go online and get a yellow vest. And if you put it on, now I'm not encouraging anybody to do that, but the point is that a yellow vest means nothing.
Your credibility, though, just went up 3 notches. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
True. On average, it's true. You see
they got a yellow vest. That's right.
Oh, you're important.
You look at your camera, a strange car pulls up, somebody gets out of the car, and they don't have a yellow vest on. You're like, who is that person? What are they doing in my yard? If they have a yellow vest, the credibility goes up.
How many times did we talk about where people would get pulled over? This was years ago. But if somebody followed you in an unmarked vehicle, I think you told me this as a cop because I had never thought about this. But if you get pulled over, yes, it was you, because you had always said, if I ever get pulled over for any reason, to make sure you're in a very lit but a very public spot. So, you know, a hustling, right, bustling, yes, parking lot, something like that. If you can find a police department, great. But I always said, well, yeah, I think as long as you're in a very lit area. No, you need people there. Because you said, more times than not, it's very easy, even in an unmarked vehicle, now that police have those, for somebody to get out of the car, have a vest on, that's and right, say, ma'am, yeah, do you know, like, go through the spiel. Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over? And now all of a sudden you're in a situation with somebody, yeah, who is not a cop. I need you to step out of the vehicle. I'm the kind of person that's absolutely going to comply. I'm going to get out of the vehicle, and now I'm in a bad situation.
Yes.
But yeah, it's that in your driveway or at your home.
Yes, exactly.
Like, have we seen situations?
And your mind is making it normal. So if you get, right, if you see lights on a car, you're going to pull over. And then if
right,
you're trying to say that this is a legit thing. In fact, to the point where when I was a detective, we used to, and we had Crown Vicks, dark Crown Vicks, we got a magnetic taxi sign, and we put the magnetic taxi sign on top of the police car.
Oh, really?
To make it seem like it was a taxi so that we could do surveillance. So somebody would instantly, even the criminals would look at it
and think nothing of it
because, oh, that's just a taxi, because right, it has a little magnetic thing on it. It's just a taxi on
sneaky.
It. So our minds want to go towards making it something that's normal. And the vests are some of those things that do that.
But I don't want to go into, first of all, I don't want everything to be an all or nothing. And I think Gary and I try to be very careful, but we also try to have honest conversation, because I think people are having these conversations and they don't know where to go with them. So I don't want it to sound like all or nothing, not looking for people to lose their jobs, just kind of for us to really just expand what we're thinking about if we do the delivery route. And to be quite frank, it's funny because I'm saying to you that I don't, you know, for money reasons, I don't really do a lot of delivery for food, but I absolutely am somebody that orders things in the mail. And so I'm right there with, I think, the average person who has things delivered, whether it is for probably convenience. That's really the thing. Convenience is king, which is the theme for today's chat, by the way. But are there actual concrete examples of where we've become too comfortable as a society with a delivery service or having somebody come to your home and it not going the right way? Or is this just us creating problems that don't exist?
No, and I think that's the point. What we've seen with some of these car services, where, you know, you can go online and kind of have your app to get a
DoorDash, a Grubhub, and Uber
Eats.
Well, no,
but the cars, the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world.
The rideshares.
Right, so the rideshares, correct. Thanks for the assist.
Hey, it's all good.
We saw over time, once people really evolve into it, you started to see some crimes that have been occurring in those vehicles, or posers, people that are not really legitimate, who are faking it. And we've seen some crimes, really like horrible crimes that occur. And so we've encouraged people to have research, and there's things that you have to do.
Like, people check to identify.
Exactly.
So I see that now all the time. You know what? This is why we're having the conversation. We're not putting people out of business. We're just making you think smarter.
That's right.
About using these resources, because you're right. I would say maybe 5-6 years ago, when we started to talk about, oh my gosh, there were college students that were being, you know, that were getting into the wrong cars.
Tragically.
They weren't Uber. Tragic situations across the country. But you are seeing now, Gary, where, and I'll see it in real time, because we use Ubers all the time. Lyft or rideshare wherever, when we're out of town or out of the state. And you'll see people look at the phone, check the name. They'll open the door, but stay on the sidewalk and say, are you so-and-so? And the Uber driver, too, by the way, is checking, are you so-and-so that I'm picking up? Checking the license plate, checking all of that. I don't see everything, but no one going into Ubers alone or Lyfts alone. I don't mean to keep saying Uber, but to get in, you are seeing those. Just crime prevention, not to say that you shouldn't use it, but just thinking about it and making sure we're not just aimlessly getting into a car, right? We're changing the way that we handle
that. Exactly. And one of the key components with that, just to kind of remind people about it, when you get into a rideshare car, make sure that you got to really do this, is to make sure that the child lock is unlocked. So go to your car.
Oh, I don't do that.
So how do you know
if the child lock is on?
So go to your car.
Okay.
Whenever you get finished listening to this show today, and open up the back seat and look at the switch on how to lock. If you open up the door.
Is every car like that, though?
Yeah, most of the newer cars are. Certainly your car and newer cars will have this in it. It's a child lock.
Right.
So what it prevents you from, it actually becomes a police car, because police cars, the back doors don't open because we don't want criminals opening the doors once they get into it.
I can understand that.
But we also don't want kids opening car doors when they're driving or whatever.
Right.
So the cars are designed to have a child lock on them, not the knob or not the button, but literally
no,
on the
because
side
it,
of
because
the door.
Even if the car is unlocked, but it has the child lock on, you
can't
cannot
get out.
Get out.
That's
yeah,
right.
yeah.
That's right.
See, I knew about the water bottle. You told me about that one mm-hmm. where people were like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
giving
offering
out free water bottles,
right.
but don't take those. By the way, if you missed that conversation,
yes, exactly,
don't take those because they're putting stuff in those
exactly.
as well. Don't do that.
But those little things you can do to make sure. So that we had an incident occur where a college student thought she was getting into a rideshare. She it wasn't. It was a poser. When she got in the car, the child lock was on. So when she realized that she couldn't get out. So it's important
so
that
scary.
You just look at how it works on your car. And if you think about it, do it at least on the car that you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're getting in on both sides, have one person close the door and open it real quick to see if it can happen before you both close the door. So there's little things you can do.
I love that.
Again, little simple things.
Just testing that.
Right. So now the next iteration of safety really starts to, we have to have these discussions about those food delivery services.
Because they're not going to go away. By the way, they really, I think we as a society love convenience, which is why, you know, today we're talking about is convenience really king? I think if you're thinking about it in the right way and you're just thinking crime prevention, it can be, but you have to think smarter, you know. Harder, smarter, all the things, I guess.
Harder and smarter.
Yeah, but we're talking about convenience is king and whether or not it really is. So when you talk about delivery services, you have concrete
We have some cases
examples?
that have involved delivery personnel. First of all, what we know is this, similar to the rideshare people, is that there's crimes against drivers. So there have been cases where drivers, delivery, food service delivery people have been assaulted.
Yes.
But on the other end, just like those rideshare, but on the other end, we've also seen drivers deliver food and commit assaults, burglaries. We've seen some food tampering, fake driver impersonations where they're fake.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just totally legitimately fake. And so we have to start having an understanding of what these delivery services are doing as it relates to a background check.
So what are some of the,
because
are there like recent things that we're seeing? So a background check, for example, does every driver have to have that?
Well,
I
did a little research on it, and what it is really interesting on this is that they have to do, so rideshare, they do a background check, and then people that apply to be these delivery services, and we can use, in, you know, whatever, any one of the number of them, They have to apply to become licensed.
Sure, it's a job.
That's
right.
Through these delivery services.
Okay.
And then they get a pass or an access so that they now are
with the
legit
company. They can
and
whoever that the
Correct.
Company is
That's
connected
right.
to, whatever restaurants they can now deliver
yeah.
for
and,
them.
And if you look at it, all of the major platforms, you know, just doing a little research, they have a background check, driving record, and they identify verify their ID. And so they have safety policies in place,
sure.
which is important.
So that's great.
So
the
you
company
want that
did what they needed
because
to.
People are coming to your house. So they're doing the violent history check, sexual offense. We've talked about that. They want to check all those, and they want to check for driver. Here's the problem with these services. There's a concept out there called account sharing, and I never really realized it until I had a discussion when I was in Washington, D.C., about another thing, and somebody said, hey, are you aware of these issues that are occurring with some of these delivery services? So I can apply. You can do a background check on me, and I can have access. I can have an account to be a delivery person
okay.
for a variety of these different services. But I can share that. And what people are doing is, so you might say, hey, I want to work part-time. So after your radio show in the morning, you go take a little bit of a nap. And then in the evening hours, I don't mind picking up a few extra bucks. Can I use your pass, your account access, because you're not going to use it 24 hours a day. So therefore, I'm now
It's like
making
if somebody
money.
Needs to get a drug test and you use somebody's clean urine sample.
Similar to that, yes.
Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, it's like
because how would you know?
That's right.
Well, the thing is if you're getting food delivered, it's not, I've never checked, do you match the person on your ID? I wouldn't think to
yeah,
do that because that's only
that's
a company
exactly
compliance
right.
thing,
right.
you know?
And they're just dropping the food off normally.
Right,
and,
why would know, I even ask
that's right.
that?
Yes,
right.
Exactly. So the person that's delivering
crazy.
The food may not have had any background checks. It could just be a friend of a friend of a friend, if at its best.
Right.
So it might be, I have an account, you're my friend, I'm going to let you do it, to make some money, and I make a little extra
money.
Right,
and you and I are harmless, but that is wrong. I mean, that is wrong, right?
That's fine.
Here's but it leaves room for a loophole.
Here's the problem. It's hard to match the driver, so who's delivering it is difficult to understand. But here's the problem. People are now going online, and they're going on, and they're buying, and they're renting these accounts.
It's like fake IDs.
Exactly. So you
can
go.
That's crazy.
There was a report in 2025, and it says here from the Tech Transparency Project. And believe it or not, you'll see it right here. 80 Facebook groups and hundreds of thousands of members dedicated to buying and selling these accounts.
Oh my gosh. Renting gig app accounts. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The report specifically mentioning Uber, DoorDash, delivery services, and rideshare apps. That's wild. But has it resulted in, I know you mentioned sexual assaults. Do we have, you know, cases
that
we can...
Yeah, I was trying to dig up some of those
cases. I actually feel like, hold on, wait, because I might have seen something actually. Standby to standby. Look at us on our phones. Mm-hmm. So much for listening to our podcast last weekend about this. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about convenience is king, but is it really? There you are. Yes, there were high-profile incidents. There was one in Farmingdale, New Jersey, where a DoorDash driver was arrested and charged with sexual assault after forcing his way into a woman's apartment. San Jose, California, a driver arrested for false imprisonment and sexual battery after forcing his way into a teenage girl's motel room. And even here in Connecticut, on UConn's campus, police investigated an attempted sexual assault after a DoorDash delivery driver allegedly enticed a customer into his car in an apartment parking lot.
Yes.
Just three quick examples there.
And then,
throw it out there.
So, and then, like we said before, we have to acknowledge that drivers, also hardworking people, are being victims of crimes as well.
Absolutely.
However, this concept of not knowing who's coming to your door and then feeling that you have to open your door is really one we have to have continued conversation on, especially as it relates to seniors, mm-hmm. because they're not understanding that kind of a message. None of us are. College students, old, young, whoever. It's convenient. It's not necessarily always safe. So do a little understanding, get a little understanding of who's coming to your door and what steps you think is appropriate at that moment.
Well, I mean, I guess kind of Cliff Notes version, Gary, what would you suggest? I mean, first of all, do you always just have them leave the food at the door? For example, that alone, I think, is one that is a no-brainer. Just leave the food at the door, for example. Right? I mean, I don't see why you ever need to answer the door.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly it. As a summary, leave it at the door. Don't open the door if you don't know who it is. Verify if you can, but we always know that verification is going to be difficult with all this account sharing. And avoid going outside if you just feel uncomfortable. You don't have to confront somebody just because they rang your doorbell.
Right.
And just understand that sometimes it's a little more convenient to get the delivery, but it might be a little safer to go and pick up the food yourself.
See, so convenience isn't always king. Maybe it is convenience, Chase, and that's why I'm going to go pick up the food.